Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. As always, I am here to talk to you about local music because local music is awesome. On today's episode, I have Israel and Cristobal from the Span Spec Festival. Cristobal contacted me in September and asked if he could have an interview with me promoting the festival that he and Israel are running. The great thing about this festival and the thing I like most about this interview is these guys are celebrating their 10-year anniversary of this festival, which promotes music and art. Seriously, 10 years of promoting music and promoting art culture in California's Central Valley. That is astounding. That is amazing. And I really hope they continue this far into the future. Before we get started with the interview, I just want to take the time, as always, to thank you for listening, because I can't believe how awesome everybody has been for this podcast. I mean, I get to do this, guys. Like, you don't understand. I get to do this. I get to interview people. I get to meet all these crazy musicians, these really funny guys, these really ambitious and just... it's infectious. All of this energy is infectious, and everybody's so positive. I really can't thank you guys enough for being part of it. This interview is actually a prime example of what this podcast is doing. I didn't ask these guys to come on the show and to promote their festival. They contacted me. That is extremely humbling, and at the same time, it's very encouraging because this podcast is getting out to people that I was hoping that it would get out to. There's a community starting to form, and it's really cool to see all of these people and to meet all these people and to interact and understand what these guys are doing. Another thing that's great about this podcast is I was able to get sponsored by Stringjoy. If you haven't heard, if you haven't listened to my pitches, these aren't just trying to sell a product. These are actually facts. These guys are awesome. I talked to Scott. He's coming up here pretty soon in an interview, and I was able to talk to him about his business and why strings and why is he doing the things that he's doing with this company. He is an amazing gentleman, and the fact that he has the guts to go up against major companies like Ernie Ball and Diodario and things like that. This guy is awesome. And I really think that this company needs to be seen by more musicians. That's why I asked to be sponsored by them. So here's the deal. Stringjoy makes custom strings. They're tension-based if you want to get pre-made sets, or you can have customizable strings. Basically, you contact them, you tell them how you want to play, or what you want to play, how you play, and other questions that only they can answer at this point, and they will suggest what they think is best for you. They will work for you until you find the strings that suit your needs the best. You can go back to them and just be like, hey, this D string, it's not working out for me. Maybe I can get it a thicker gauge. But the fact of the matter is, they work with you because you are an individual, and so is your guitar. And that's what makes it great. Your sound is your voice in music, and they understand that. They also started offering customizable instrument cables, which is fantastic. Customizable down to the inch and the connector, and even the color, which I'm looking forward to a green one with the 90 degree angle connectors, about maybe 10 foot so I can walk around my studio and just jam out, you know? That is what I want to do. When you have the strings and the cables in your cart and you're ready for checkout, all you have to do is enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you will be getting a discount because you are a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Speaking of listening to the podcast, you're listening to it now, why don't you connect with it on social media? All you have to do is go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, Twitter at TLMR Podcast, on Instagram at The Local Music Revolution. You can also listen on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. As I've said before, it's slow going, but I am getting those videos up and running. All right, guys, I know you want to hear about this amazing music and arts festival happening October 21st, 2015. It is the Span Spec Festival. Here it is. Without any further ado, here is Israel and Cristobal. All right, I'm here with Israel and Cristobal from the Span Spec Festival. How are you guys doing?
Good. I'm good. This is Israel, and I'm here sitting next to Cristobal.
Hello. I am also doing good. Hello, everyone.
All right. So
you
guys,
thank you for having us on.
Well, you guys are very welcome. You guys are very welcome. So the backstory is, you guys contacted me because you're going to have a festival when this is released in a couple days. It's October 24th, I believe.
Yeah, October 24th, Saturday over in Orosi, California.
Okay. Okay,
so music and arts festival.
Okay, so let's get into that real fast. It's a music and arts festival. So, I would like to know the background. What made you guys want to combine these two artistic expressions into a festival setting?
You want to feel that?
You can start.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, when it comes to combining music and art, I feel like that's a pretty common thing with most music festivals. Even with like a Coachella, even though it's not necessarily in the name, art is still heavily featured at the festival. So, there wasn't really much thought put into that other than that. We really wanted to feature local music and local art in our particular community.
So I'll give you my short take on it. Part of why the festival got started in the first place is because the place where it takes place in Orosi, California, is a small little community, I don't know, maybe 8,000 people or so. But Cristobal and I were both musicians. We played in bands, you know, for a while. And I personally knew some, like, visual artists. And there was no venue or place or something for either the music to be displayed in the community and or the art. And some of these artists that I knew that had interesting artwork had never even shown it to anybody other than close friends. So that was part of kind of putting it together, doing it all at once.
Wow, man, that's intense. So you guys say that you guys played before you decided to make this festival. So are there any bands that you can mention that you guys were part of, and any anything that led you guys to wanting to create your own festival other than getting your friends' art out?
Well, I used to play for a long time when I was young. I used to play with a band called Bermuda Grass, which was kind of like this old, alternative punk type of band from Orosi. And that was my big band when I think we first started in Israel. What were you playing with? Who was the band at the time? Were you the guys at the time?
No, I was never. I think I started with, I mean, this is like our start band.
Yeah.
You know, for both of us, it was Sabotage for me, which I started with Cristobal on that. That's the first time we met. And this is, we're talking about 15 years ago or something like that.
Yes.
Wow.
A long time ago.
And we've technically been playing ever since, like in multiple different bands.
Nice.
Even now.
And then around that, so those are the band, and Murdoch? We're still
about that way later.
Oh, that's way.
We've named bands, it's probably like 9 or 10, but we'll get through some of them.
But that's related only in that, so we were in these bands and we were constantly playing in places like Fresno and Vestalia and never really playing shows in Orosi at all. So part of the reason that the festival started in the first place was just because we wanted to play somewhere in Orosi. And since there were no venues, we kind of just had to create our own. And that's kind of one of the originators for the festival.
Nice. All right, so you guys made this festival, and we talked about the background and what led you to it. So now I want to know, what is your vision for this festival?
I think the main goal is still a little bit of why we started it. It's to expose the community to music and art, and then vice versa, expose some of the local artists that don't have you know, that otherwise don't have that ability, or they're maybe a little bit, you know, stuck in showing some of their work. So out to the people as well. So kind of a twofold, you know, get the community exposed to some music, some art that maybe they're not, you know, familiar with, and then get the artists exposed in areas where, you know, maybe they weren't used to.
Yeah, I think this is still a very big component of the festival. You know, we have, well, at least I have a big love for local music, so part of it is kind of bringing these local bands that maybe some people don't know about, and then promoting the fuck out of them, pretty much, just to get people to the festival so they can see that, you know, there's some really good music being made here. There's also a community component that's part of our vision still, giving back. We have a scholarship program that we fund through the festival. We provide a number of, I think, what do we do, like three scholarships last year?
Yeah, three scholarships for the, and they're all, these are directed to the Orosi High School, the local high school.
Wow, man.
And, yeah, and then I think the other thing we do, well, the other thing we do is we fund new artwork every year. So, pretty much with festival funds, we'll hire an artist to create something, a new piece of work for the festival, which we'll show in our little makeshift Spanspit gallery at the festival every year. Again, just to promote the creation of new art, these artists that we really dig. I think right now we have maybe close to 8 or 9 pieces.
Yeah,
that'll be shown at this year's festival. So I think a big part of our vision is just kind of promoting that local, this local art, making sure that people are seeing it, people are appreciating it.
So to put it in perspective, the whole festival takes place in one day, so one afternoon / evening in a indoor venue. Just think like a hall, I don't know, somewhere you would typically have like a wedding. Kind of big enough, but not too huge. It's wow. All indoors, and it has its main stage, the typical like stage that you see kind of at the end of most of these halls, and then we put an additional stage kind of on the side, and we have kind of bands going back and forth, you know, just one at a time. And then in between all this, we have setups of art. Each artist sits up their own way, but they're kind of all commingling along the whole perimeter of the venue. And then at the entrance is what Cristobal was talking about. We have some of our own commission work that we get at least one per year. And then those, we choose an artist, and then they create a piece for the festival, and then that piece stays with the festival, and then gets set up every year after that consecutively.
Wow, that's incredible, guys! It really is.
We're not messing around, man.
It doesn't sound like it at all.
Yeah, the new piece we have this year is by an artist called Abigail Jansen out of Fresno. We haven't showed it yet, I guess, but if you come to the festival...
If you're snazzy viewer, you can see it on our Instagram. Get in the way on Instagram.
We didn't start it from year one. It was an idea that started maybe, I think, year two or three. But we've done one every year since. So we've had, probably have like 7 or so. And those,
yes.
And we actually periodically display those at other smaller events that we do, like fundraisers and things like that, like Fresno and even Rossi, we take most of those pieces and set them up, aside from just the big setup at the festival.
Wow. Excuse me. All right, so you have the featured artists. Are there any other artists that are noteworthy that you would like to mention? I mean, how many artists do you have on the festival currently?
You can edit out us counting. I won't count,
but it's probably like 15 or so for this.
16.
And then some of them include, so maybe there's 15. Some of them are single, like artists, and some of them are collective. So one of them would be like the Urbanist Collective out of Visalia. There is a COS Printwork. So those are like groups, even though we just kind of count them as one. And some of them are like Carlos Cisneros and Robert Chavez and Teresa Flores. Are like single artists that sit up. I think we have 14 or 15 or so this year.
One of the ones I'm really excited about, and he was here last year, is Jose Guadalupe Garcia. This guy's done I don't know if you've been to the Fresno Fair, but recently, there's like this giant Minotaur statue that they have there every now and then.
Wow.
That guy is made the Minotaur.
If you go to fastbackfestival.com and go to the videos. We have a short, like, teaser video for 2015. It's maybe a minute and a half. If you look at the videos, he was at the festival last year with one of his pieces. It's a metal, like, three-dimensional minotaur that's, I don't know, 7 feet maybe.
Yeah, this guy creates, like, life-size mythical creatures, and he just has them there for the festival. And it was really impressive last year, and I think this year we're going to have maybe...
We're going to have multiple pieces.
Multiple pieces.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
It's one of those things where it's cool, but they're big enough that you have to kind of figure out how to get them there in the first place. But we're working on that already. So if you watch this video, one of his pieces is like the very first thing on the video, you see it. Spanspecfestival.com and just click on videos.
Cool. Who else do you like? I like Tarika Flores.
She's very inventive. I think one of the years that we've had her 2-3 years ago, instead of showing some of her art, which we have actually, she's one of the artists that we have pieces from. She decided to make, instead of bringing a lot of her artwork, to make a quesadilla bar, right?
An experimental quesadilla.
Like an artsy way to, you know, like to hand out quesadillas to people, which is kind of interesting.
You pick the ingredients pretty much, yeah.
And they would just vary from anything to Cheetos to, you know, actual cheese and who knows what, but it was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, look, it's awesome. Ogre, you need to come to the festival.
Oh, man. Oh, the only problem is I'm going to be out of town on that Saturday.
Look, just cancel your plan and come to the festival.
I want to so bad.
We'll figure out if it's more important or not. If you tell us a wedding, a friend's getting married, you probably get divorced.
Then
I get divorced. The second wedding. This is Fastex's 10th anniversary, so you're only going to get that one.
You're only going to get the 10th anniversary one.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So let's talk about that for a second. 10 years of doing this festival. All right. Ten years. And explain the reception of this festival, starting with the first year, moving to this year. How has it been for you guys?
I mean, I guess it's gotten steadily better as we've gone along. I don't think it's ever really been. It's always been good. I think
we were surprised when we first did it, because it was, I mean, we had no experience. I mean, we've done shows with bands, you know, like a band here or two, and that's it. And we decided to do it this first year, and we had no idea what was going to happen. And it ended up being better than we expected, and we just kind of learned from there. And, you know, the festival got a little more intricate as we went along, and we learned from it quite a bit. I mean, most of our knowledge that I learned how to design out of, you know, the necessity of needing posters for the festival, and we learned a lot of things from it.
Wow. I actually did that with music too. I learned web design because my band needed a website. So I actually learned web design, and I went to college for web design, and now I have a bachelor's degree in web development. So
this festival is very much DIY in aesthetic, I guess. We're pretty much, most of the operation is kind of just run by the two of us.
Yeah, pretty much. We do have some volunteers that help, like the day of and things like that. So we do have help.
Yeah.
But the bulk of it is just Cristobal and I doing most of the footwork, all of the curating and all of the setting up and prepping, and we kind of like it that way, just because it makes things a little simpler. I mean, we don't always agree on stuff, but it's easier to agree with two people than with like a committee of, you know, 10 or 12.
Yeah, no kidding.
This lineup is very personal. It's a very personal product that we're putting out there. It means a lot to us.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, you guys have mentioned that you do other shows and fundraisers and things like that. Plus, this is the 10th anniversary of the Spanspec Festival.
It's okay. Easy on yourself, man. It's all right.
It just would not come out. But the question is, do you guys have real people jobs, or is this your job?
We wish.
Yeah.
We both have real people jobs.
We both have real people jobs.
And families and kids and bands and whatnot. So we're busy.
This truly is a labor of love that we have to put effort in to kind of fit into our days.
I don't think we've mentioned it, but we basically operate as a nonprofit. So it's not like a profit. Not only do we operate as a nonprofit, but we're under the umbrella of the Tulare County Arts Consortium.
Wow.
And so we are technically a nonprofit as well. So, I mean, we work hard, I would say, you know, 8 months out of the year on the festival, even though it's just mostly a one-day thing, you know, with a little trickle-down of other shows and fundraisers. But it's all basically for the community and for the artists and things like that. And like Chris said, a labor of love.
Yeah, anything that's not going to the scholarships or to other shows is going back into the festival so that it continues for another year.
Good.
It literally started with Chris and I putting up our own money at the beginning, but you know, we started wanting to make it a little better, a little bigger, and it required a little more money, so we started doing fundraisers. I mean, we do anything from like busking in the streets for coins to having yard sales to putting little shows and things like that.
That is amazing. I love the DIY approach. If anybody's listened to this podcast, they know I love the DIY approach. And I also believe if there is a will, there is a way. And it's none more so than with artists. If they want to do something, it's going to happen no matter what. So it's great to hear that you guys actually put in all that time and effort to help promote local art and music. It's amazing. It really is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so what I want you to do right now, tell me one of the bands that is going to be featured on this festival.
Well, what do you want to talk about? There's a bunch. I could talk about each one of them in detail.
Well, just one for now.
Okay. The one, let's see. All right, well, I'll mention the pseudo-headliner. Lance Canales and the Flood. He is a blues roots rock guy from Orosi, from our hometown, and he just recently released a new album. He's very well known in the area. He's on a record label. He's on the blues charts in Europe, apparently, and he tours regularly the U.S. This is kind of like one of his homecoming shows. I'm really excited about him. It's literally just him and playing guitar and an upright bassist and a drummer. He's got one of those gravelly, like, blues voices.
Oh,
and,
nice.
He's really good. He's really good. I'm
awesome.
Excited about to have him back.
Awesome. Can you repeat the name one more time?
It's his name is Lance Canales, and the group is called Lance Canales and the Flood.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Right now, we'll take a break, and we'll get back to things in a couple minutes, all right?
Hopefully we can get Lance's permission to play. It's going to be a problem, that'll be.
Going home to California with a guitar and a sack. Hitch a ride, train a bus with the sunrise at my back. I'm going home. I'm gonna miss you, Kansas City, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. I'm going home. South Texas, that's a whole nother world. Mama raised in Fieldwork Sunshine, a Central Cali girl. I'm going home. In California, I'm going home. South Texas, that's a whole nother world. Mama raised in Fieldwork Sunshine, a Central Cali girl. I'm going home in California. I'm going home in Golden Rock.
All right, guys, so I watched the video just now during the break, and I saw there's a clip where it shows portraits, black and white portraits. Looks phenomenal. And then the question popped into my head: have you actually had any artists actually do their art at the festival?
Yes,
you have.
Yes, and if you look, if you kind of watch that video again, there's probably like a tiny second of. There's this artist, his name is Carlos Cisneros, that was doing live painting during the festival. We also, if you look at the previous video, we had an artist, I think Germs, is that him? Germs Woodard? That he has a canvas with a frame on it that literally says paint me on it. And anyone from the festival and this paint kind of around it goes and starts painting on it. It's already kind of pre-painted, there's stuff on there. But people just keep adding and adding and adding layers of it on it.
Yeah.
And this year we expect at least 2, maybe 3 live artists to do work, display the work, and do live, you know, painting. Usually common to do live painting.
That is amazing. I love that so much. My wife actually, she collects comic books, and they do variant covers, which are different. You know, different covers for the same story.
Right.
And one of the things they've done is they give you a blank cover, and it just has the title of the specific book that it is and the number, and it's blank. So when you go to like Comic-Con or something like that, you can actually give it to an artist and they'll draw on it for you. And it's just, yeah, it's a really cool concept. I mean, there's so many, you can make your own variant artwork for that comic. It's amazing. Yeah, it's just fun. Artists are a very, very interesting people. So
yeah, they're awesome.
All right, so that's one side. Now I want to get into the other, which is one of my favorite things on this planet, is the music side. So how many bands or artists do you have on this festival right now?
We got 8 bands and 3 DJs this year, and DJs is one of the new components.
Okay.
Somebody I'm really excited about this year. Kaleidoscope, I think you're familiar with her, right?
Yeah, Kaleidoscope, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's going to be doing a special set at the festival this year with a live band.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's this other group called the Rose Collection at Danuba that are going to be backing her up for her set. Oh. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's amazing. Congratulations, Kaleidoscope. That is fantastic news.
And then one of the other bands I'm really excited about is we're doing one of those reunion shows for a band out of Reedy called Tokyo Death March, which nowadays actually features a lot of, like, well, I guess the main guy is Kevin Figueroa, who's been playing with a bunch of other bands recently. I think Big in Conversation. He's played in Fierce Creatures before, but this is his original band. And they're indie instrumental, experimental. They're
very good.
Very good, and a lot of Latin rhythms, really danceable, and this is their first show, and man, it's been a long time.
Nice.
3 years maybe or so?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, that's
But
cool.
This is going to be their only show this year, their only reunion, so.
Yeah, we're not sure if they'll play again, so if you want to see Tokyo Death March, come to Pacific. And they played years back, and the festival fits them very well. The floor stage in particular, they're just one of those bands that you want to see, like, up close, and they have very good stage presence, and they're still young, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be a good act to come check out.
High energy,
yeah.
Awesome. So, let's go back to the DJs. What led you guys to incorporating the DJs into the festival?
Beer. beer led us to it.
Really?
Yes. Usually this this event doesn't have any sort of alcohol, but this year we're actually going to have beer served. And there's a little bar area in our event venue, and it's perfect for a little lounge area. So because of that, we decided to get some DJs to kind of spin in there while people are kind of drinking and ordering beer and all that. We've got three DJs. They're going to do each about like an hour and a half set. Nesto is one of them. Nesto and Green Giant are these two guys that have been doing a lot of work recently in Fresno, playing Vini Vidi Vici and doing all these art hop events. They're kind of old school soul sampler guys. And then the other DJ is a guy named Jukebox, who only played his first show maybe about a month ago. And, wow. But he's really well known amongst the kind of fashion,
the hop
kind of crowd of hip hop in Fresno. He does a lot of beats for them.
Okay.
So we're really excited to have him. It'll be his second show. And he's a really good beat maker, really cool guy. I'm really excited about that.
His second show as a DJ, but he's been making music for, seems like forever. Yeah.
So you guys said that that this is an indoor festival.
Yeah.
So I know it's not, you know, promotion wise, but how do you guys figure on making it to where the DJs are good with the live music? Is it going to alternate, or is it going to play it simultaneously?
Well, the bar is kind of walled away from the live music element.
Okay.
So we're counting on that being enough to kind of just provide enough of a barrier so that the sounds aren't interrupting each other. But either way, you know, it's a music festival. There's a lot of music in the air. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's all good. Last
there'll year. Be a little spillover, but I think it'll definitely be okay. And if you want to hear the DJ, you just, you know, go into that room. If you want to hear the band, then you're out there.
You're out.
The bands definitely don't play simultaneously. One stops and the other one begins. That's the point of two stages. But the DJ will. Yeah. But I think that, to me, that's kind of a good thing. Because at least on my point of view, part of the experience of the festival is kind of seeing it all, like watching, you know, hearing the music and watching the art and seeing the artists create and just kind of seeing it all at once. That's the part that's interesting to me, at least.
Yeah, I completely understand. I actually, last festival I went to was Knotfest last year, and they had five stages, and at least two were going at the same time. And there was a point where you can hear both sides, like a stereo, out of tune.
Yeah.
It was really, really interesting when you got to that point. So,
Have you ever attended any of the local festivals around here?
I actually, what was it, 2009, 2010? We played Rockin' Roots in Bakersfield. And that was insanity, man. And that was one of the coolest times I've ever had. It was great. And we got to play that 2 years in a row. And it was a blast.
There's been a lot of local festivals coming up in Fresno recently, and I mean, I guess we're part of that. I kind of like to think that we helped kind of spur that along.
We're the oldest.
That's
what Chris is trying to say.
The really oldest. That's 10 years. I'm also trying to say again, you should come to this festival. If you do not go to local festivals, you should go to this local festival.
Yeah.
Dip your toe into Spanspec. That's what I'm trying to say, over.
Oh, don't worry. I'll make my presence known some way or another. I will. That's how it happens, man. So you guys have your website, you have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Our website is fanspecfestival.com, and you can get our links to our various social media pages.
You can get to everything from there. SPANSPEKfestival.com.
All right, so how is your presence on social media, and how has it affected the event itself?
Well, I think it's helped us get our name out a little bit more than maybe just flyering would. We tend to contact bands, and they tend to contact us through Facebook a lot. So it's definitely a necessary tool to kind of function. It's also been really good. It's also helped us kind of get the word out on local music. One of the things on our website is a local music blog where We write reviews about local albums that have come out. It's just another way that we help promote the really great music that's coming out of the Fresno Tulare County area.
As far as I know, that's one of the only places, especially locally, that has the bulk of the, you know, local releases that come out. I know there was a few kind of older ones that I don't think are out, or at least updated recently. So if you want to be up to date on local music releases and reviews, Fanspec Blog,
That is great. The thing is with the podcast, I've always been trying to figure out new content and new things that I can add to it to make it better. One of the ideas was doing the album reviews for the local music or musicians that come to me and want to be part somehow.
All right, well, I got an idea. So you can go to the blog and just read my post on your podcast. And then say brought to you by Fanfic every day. And we'll just charge you a few bucks, no problem. And then you'll get your review. Very safe.
No, I was going to say, just as a resource, because I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're pretty familiar with a lot of the local bands, but at times there's so many that it's kind of almost hard to keep up, you know, who's still on, who's not.
Yeah.
If you go to the blog, you at least get a good idea of, like, you know, what's in the band or who's releasing what. And then those are potentially good acts to interview, especially if they're releasing something recently.
Yeah, no kidding. So on that front, have you actually, the reason I haven't done the album reviews yet is because I'm afraid there's going to be backlash. I try to make it to where there's no genre barriers. There's rap, there's ska, there's metal on my podcast, because I think everybody should get a shot. But I'm just worried about the reviews making people really angry, because if I'm going to review something, I'm going to be honest. Have you guys had any backlash with any of your reviews, or has it all been really, really good?
Before we got started with the interviews, I spoke to a bunch of, you know, writers that I knew in the area, specifically Colby Tibbett, who I think lives in Vegas now. But he used to write local album reviews, and I kind of asked him about that, whether or not that would be a good thing to do. And he kind of pointed out to me that if we were really trying to help the local music scene succeed, that writing bad reviews would probably not do that, accomplish that goal. Right, because we're just kind of panning local bands. When really, at this stage, you know, bands are still trying to find their sound. They're still trying to kind of figure out what it is that they do. So when it comes to our reviews, we're only writing about stuff that we like.
Okay.
So every review is positive.
Nice.
And that's kind of how we get around that. You know, we're not trying to create animosity. We're just trying to expose people to good music that we like. Because writing bad reviews is not going to help anyone grow or become a better band.
Touche.
Luckily, there's plenty of good music around to review.
Yeah, and thankfully that. Thankfully that is the case.
It's hard to keep up on.
Hello?
Well, I don't know. I guess you could take that approach if you wanted to. But if you really want to write bad reviews, then you could. But then you might actually get backlash.
Oh, no. It's just... Yeah, that was the question I had, because if I'm going to write something, I will write that I like these things. I won't go into something that's bad or something I didn't like. But the thing is, you know, somebody can misconstrue you writing about this certain element that you really liked as you dissing everything else. So I wanted to know how you guys fared in that.
We haven't had any issues. I mean,
I've written some reviews where I've liked the album in its core, but I've had a few issues, and I mentioned them in the review. And at least we haven't received any comments. I mean, that could be because no one reads the blog.
Yeah. No, people do read the blog. And there's easy access to kind of get a hold of us because of a blog or because of anything. And we do get, like, emails and things like that from random people that, you know, find the blog, find the webpage. And I don't think we ever got anything. I'm sure at some point we will.
But you didn't write something good enough.
Yeah. Usually it's positive. It's like, hey, someone is, you know, listening to our stuff and kind of writing about it. So usually it's right off the bat, just with that, it's a positive thing.
Nice. All right. So
excited to be written about, I think.
Speaking of positive, Can you tell me about one more band that you would like featured or like to talk about that's on your festival?
So the other band, another one of our, this is a band we've been trying to get on the festival for a long time, Lightspeed. They're a Fresno, where are they?
Fresno, I think.
They're a Fresno band. I'm trying to think of the genre. I'd say progressive indie rock. They feature a lot of Moog and Korg keyboards. The guitarist, Joel Melton, is amazing. He just makes some great textures. Everyone is really good in that band.
Great drummer, great bass player, like just good musicians, and then very friendly. That helps too. And they're popular. They just finished it.
Just finished the tour of California. They played a couple festivals in the Midwest, and they released an album not too long ago called Spirit Home, which is pretty good. I think that made that was number three and number two on the end of the year best of the list for us.
Fastbook has a year end of the year list of local bands that you can kind of look forward to in December. They made a list last year. I think they played South by Southwest too.
I think
they have that. And so they get around and they do pretty well.
Nice. We're really excited to have them. They do great live as well.
They're really good live. So, I think they have new music potentially coming out, like newer music. They're very active.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you say the name of the band one more time?
They're called Lightspeed.
Two words. Light and speed.
How do you say that in Spanish? For our Spanish listeners, for
the crowd.
I think you're going to have to go old school Spanish because most of my listeners in Spanish are from Spain.
Oh, dang. You're talking about Spanish. Okay.
Yeah. We could do that.
The same. We just have to say it with the list.
Yeah. Just some disease.
All right.
There is a Z in there.
They like you?
Yeah, because light in Spanish has a Z at the end.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You got it.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. We'll be right back. All right, gentlemen. So, you guys mentioned earlier, it's on your website, Prevalent. You guys actually also have a podcast, and I would really like to know what that podcast entails and what made you guys start a podcast.
Well, it's a fairly young podcast. I think we're at episode 4 or 5.
We're going on 4.
This is one of those things where I pitched it to Cristobal in 2009. But at the
end, finally we got it.
Yeah. No, but at that time I was actually out. I wasn't even here. We were kind of the different area, so it was very tough to kind of do it at that time. But we managed to kind of pull it together for this year. And the bulk of it is we always have it's usually the two of us, Cristobal and I. It's called the Spatspec Podcast. Just like that, you'll find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. We have it on SoundCloud as well, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and the main concept of it is we usually talk to and or interview artists and community people, bands, artists. We haven't had too many community, people that are not artists, but that's in the plan. We've had promoters. What have we had?
We had a poet.
A poet.
The last episode was a poet.
Yeah, we had Jefferson Beavers from the Fresno Filmworks. Talked about, the Fresno Filmworks itself and movies coming up and things like that, just kind of local stuff. The next podcast that will be coming out in October would be all about the festival. So that's the only one where we won't have a guest, but we typically have a guest.
I'm calling it our Spans Spectacular. Yeah. Or wait, I should call it our Spans
Spectacular. It's a spectacular episode, so look out for that one. We'll be going into detail about this year's festival itself, the artists, the bands, and specifics and things that we are bringing to this year that we didn't have.
What else should we do? Should we invite people?
Huh?
Should we invite people to the podcast? What are we going to do?
We could.
Let's figure this out right now.
Okay. All right. How much time do you have, Ogre?
Can you help us with this?
Hey. Yeah. I do have a question about that, though. So you guys interview all these people and everything. So what made you guys start interviewing people? Because me, it was just I like talking about music. And my wife kind of got annoyed because I would try to figure out, like, in depth, like, okay, that bass drum does not sound right. I want to know why kind of thing. And I would talk to her, and she was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So you did it as an outlet, right? So for me, at least my push for the podcast is it all goes back to the festival, to trying to help the local artists. And this is another way of kind of talking to them, getting to know them a little better, promote the festival, promote the artists, promote the bands, kind of on a different different outlet, I guess. Because, we already do Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We do a lot of footwork, so we still hand out flyers. We still put hundreds of posters up, all that kind of stuff. But this is just another alternative for us, I think.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I love interviewing people. It did start out as an outlet, but then it started becoming something way more than that. Especially after my first interview, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I had so much fun doing this. Like, I want to continue doing this as long as I can. So it's great to see that you guys are starting up. What's your release schedule like?
Once a month. My initial pitch was like, let's do it multiple times. But we're both so busy that it's really hard to commit to multiple times. So we for sure do once a month. And then in the future, especially after Spanspec, after kind of the season kind of dies, I might do try to push in for like a couple extra episodes a month or something like that. But for now, it's once a month. And I mean, it was one of those things where we started almost from zero, to where I told Chris, we'll try to get a good guest, and we will probably suck at it for the first few tries, but it'll get better and better. Because, that's the beauty of podcasting, I think. You can kind of learn as you go, and eventually the episodes will get better. We kind of were lucky enough to where right off the bat with our first guest, he was used to kind of going to Fox 26 and radio shows and all that. So he helped us carry it a little bit, as opposed to us kind of interviewing him a lot. But we're getting the hang of it, and it's fun.
Nice. Well, congratulations. I know for the first month and a half, it was kind of hit and miss. I was trying different things, and I'm pretty confident if you look at those first episodes, you'll be like, what was this guy thinking? it's become something I really, really enjoy. And, I'm so lucky to have so many people that are interested in it. I really am. I wanted to talk to people about music, and so many people have been backed, so it's really...
We could do a whole nother podcast on just music. Like I said, Cristobal and I have played for like 16 years together. I mean, he's actually not a classically trained musician. He's played with orchestras and whatnot. And,
oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not that impressive, honestly.
It's impressive. And then... I have nothing to add to that except I'm an audio engineer. I mean, that's the only thing I could. I mean, I went to Arizona. I did audio engineering school. Like,
look, Israel's really dreamy. He's an audio engineer. He's really cute. Plays guitar. He designs posters. He's the whole package, Ogre.
He's trying to stop me on the offense. But anyway, like, you know, 8 months from now, if you want to talk to us about our bands, we'll do that.
Oh, yeah, we'll do episodes later.
Oh, man. We can just sit down and talk about all of the stupid experiences we've had doing live shows. I'm pretty confident that could be a two-part, maybe a three-part episode, and everybody will be laughing. Some of those things you just can't make up, you know?
Agreed.
All right,
That's a good one.
All right, so with the podcast next month that you're releasing for the festival, you're going in depth. You're talking about all things the Span Spec Festival. So, do you have a release date for that?
We don't.
No, not yet.
We don't. But if you just keep, and we need to kind of set up an actual release date for all our podcast, that way, you know, people know exactly when it's out. But we haven't like zeroed that in. I know we're just doing once a month, usually early in the month. This one, I think we're going to push a tiny bit just so that it's closer to the festival.
Okay.
So kind of middle of October expected. We could do it early, but I think it'd be more beneficial to do it a little bit closer.
Here, I have an idea. You'll just record us saying every day in October and then just dub it in.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll start. October 1st.
October
2nd. October
3rd.
Just kind of fit it in there, okay?
All right, man. All right, so can you tell me about one more band that you would like to feature this prominent on your festival?
Who else? Who do you want to get here?
You talk about St. X.
St. X is an indie band from Fresno made up of some friendcore scene members. In particular, Jemima Barba, who is a wonderful singer, songwriter. Usually she works on her own under the moniker Doves with two V's. And she's got a great voice. It's very soaring. She's great with melody, and she writes excellent music. And the band is just, it's just a cool indie band, kind of on the style of Best Coast. And the live show is also really good. She gets down and moves around and shit. And, she's going to be really good at the festival. I think people are really going to like that band.
And if you want high energy, we have Basura, which is a rock, Spanish rock, ska punk band with horns, high energy as well. You know, half the time almost all the time, they start with like, you know, luchador masks at the beginning.
Yeah, they dance around.
The horn arrangements are really good. They're very upbeat. The songwriting is very good. Basura is the band.
Nice.
They're Spanish, but they, you know, they translate very, very well. Just tons of energy.
Nice. All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
All right. We'll be right back.
right, gentlemen. So, Spanspec Festival. Can you give me the information one more time before we get going?
All right. So, the Spanspec Music and Arts Festival, the 10th year we're doing it. October 24th in Orosi, California at the Orosi Memorial Hall, 41645 Road 128. Starts at 5:30, goes on to about 11. You can only get tickets at the door, but guess what? They're only $5. Super wow. Cheap for 11 bands. It's going to be awesome. Tons of artists. And there's going to be craft beer on tap for the 21 and over crowd. And it's going to be awesome. And you can get more information at our website, www.spanspecfestival.com. We spell Spanspec, S-P-A-N-S-P-E-K. And I think that might be it. It's going to be a good time. You're going to meet your love of your life over there, too.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
And it's $5. We literally kept the same price for 10 years. That's on purpose,
wow.
You know, to make it very accessible and affordable for everybody.
All right, and before we get going, your social media presence, can you talk about that? Facebook, Instagram, and
Twitter. Like I said, if you go to our website, SpanspecFestival.com, you can find our links to all our social media pages there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snozzle, Gloop Gloop, Swindle.
Sounds like you're repeating alien names from Rick and Morty now.
You know, all those social media pages. Well,
he just maybe made the three.
I think I made up at least one of those. Yeah. The rest of them are real.
All right, gentlemen, it's been wonderful talking to you. Congratulations on 10 years. Thank you for contacting me and letting me interview you guys about this show. It's an amazing thing.
Thank you for having us.
Please keep in contact with me. I would love to talk to you guys about your bands. Anytime you guys have any promotions, please let me know. I will promote the hell out of them for you. So thank you again. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you at the festival, Over.
All right, brother.
That's your plan. I'm expecting you there.
Yeah, me too.
We're both expecting you there.
All right, gentlemen. You have a very good night, all right?
All right. Enjoy your burrito. Boomer lives.
All right, that was Israel and Cristobal from the Spanspec Festival. It is happening October 24th, 2015, of course, 5:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Orosi Hall in Orosi, California. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. Thank you for promoting your festival here on the Local Music Revolution. It's exactly what I'm going for when I reach out past musicians. I want to get people that help musicians just like these gentlemen, and it's a 10-year anniversary, so like a round of applause for you guys, because 10 years and something, that's insanity, and you guys are doing it for music and for local art, which is fantastic. Podcasts and festivals like this would not be a thing without people that listen and that want these things and to experience these things, which is amazing in and of itself. I am also listening. If you want to contact the podcast, as I said in the beginning, I have social media for the podcast, main source of promotion, guys. So go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at @TLMRpodcast, and on Instagram at The Local Music Revolution. You can also find us on WordPress, thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. That is where all of the updates and all of the new information come out pertaining to the podcast. Plus, there are little blog entries here and there, the random starts. I really like doing that. I don't know if anybody else likes it, but I truly like it because it gives me something to look forward to at the end of the week. And to start my Monday off right, I do a random start. Update you guys on what I am listening to at that particular moment. On that note, what are you guys listening to? Are there any local or independent artists that you find interesting that you want me to interview? I really enjoy having the recommendations because I take somebody recommending music to me very seriously. It's like you showing me part of yourself. And I don't recommend music unless I think you're actually going to enjoy it. So if you know any bands or artists that you want to hear on the show, let me know who they are. send them to thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. There is an interview sign-up sheet there they can fill out. I will get the process going to get that interview done, and hopefully we'll be able to set a date for that release. Lastly, String Joy is the way to go. If you play guitar, bass, or even acoustic guitar, they make custom strings for your specs alone. And that's what's great about it. They work with you to find what makes you sound good. They also have cables, and they started selling 4 different types of picks. I'm actually really looking forward to the Jazz 3s and the Jumbos. I think I've said that before. I'll say it again. I just really like those picks. Go check out stringjoy.com. Once you have your equipment in the cart, you're at checkout, enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you will get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. If you are close to me and I talk to you often, you probably have heard me and my wife talking about we're going to Knotfest on the 24th and 25th of October. We'll be back in town on the 26th. The thing is, it works perfectly because next week is the last Thursday before Halloween. So what's going to happen is I'm going to have the Halloween special. Granted, I'm not going to be in town for the 2 days afterwards, but hey, it's Slipknot and Judas Priest. Like, why would I say no to that? The holiday special is going to be fantastic. You guys, I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a very, very fun one for everybody involved. I have artists from the past, more recently, and even future guests that are making their first appearance on the Local Music Revolution. It's over 2 hours long. Listener feedback. In the end, you even have my picks for the 2 questions. And it's just an all-around great episode. I really hope you guys enjoy it. There's 3 more that are going to be put out this year, but what you're looking for is the Halloween special. Now, until next week, I will be going on my merry way. Thank you guys for listening to the show. You guys are fantastic. As always, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
This is the local music revolution.